space is a place that only a human being locates. Where there's so much information to take, then you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get on the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanley, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary, on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Zone.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Black talk, talking black. Brothers and sisters, afro down, tammed and turtleneck, black on purpose. Time to get with the program. Know who I am. Black talk, talk black. Sister know the script. Strong, silent black. Tight lips. Black talk, talking.
Don't you give me no broccoli and tell me it's green. Don't give me no weeds and tell me they're flowers. Don't give me no noise and tell me it's music. Don't tell me no lies and say it's the truth. And jazz, that once was a high priestly soul, has gone from bebop to gebop, and this flop is killing me. But who is to blame for this mudslide of maggots sucking our blood? Who is to blame for the soul of our brothers and sisters of all races dying? The blame lies with us. We are the children and the parents of an unfinished revolution. What happened to our rhythm? The natural harmonies of life flowing into itself, creating still another river of love to kiss the shore and plant healthy seeds into the womb of Mother Earth. What happened to our rhythm, y'all? Our children have become extra large reflections of shattered dreams and broken promises, and the image of a dream corroded by time is puffed away in a hail of gun smoke. What happened to our rhythm? These clumsy steps of a lost spirit cripple our will to live. Too many of our sons think they are niggas because their fathers thought they were niggas too. When they are black men gone crazy with the fear of being themselves and beautiful. What happened to our rhythm, our self-respect, our manhood, our womanhood? While the country speaks of peace, the bald eagle with sharp beak pecks at the heart of every living thing. What happened to our rhythm, y'all? We used to dance in step on the beat together, in step on the beat together. But now we stumble through this disease-ridden nightmare called an American dream. To stand on line, to die, to be cloned, to live forever on a square TV.
Don't you give me your rock.
The land of the brave, where fear and frustration dance on your grave. No more healthcare, no more dreams, no more heroes, no more themes. College education at a minimum wage, looking at the future and then turning the page. Homeless in shelters, homeless tomorrow, one paycheck away from homeless sorrow. The global economy becomes a global slave. Who do we dispose of and who do we save? The Panthers yawning, the rhythm and blues, conservative smiles on the 5 o'clock news. Here comes Newt, here comes the ground, here comes the fury, here comes the sound. Hitmen for America with contracts to kill, right-wing fantasies on a liberal thrill. Debate the deals and media leaks, they get the talk shows and we get the freak. Neighborhood jails for neighborhood crimes, family and friends drop neighborhood dimes. No public TV, no public opinion, total oppression over total dominion. The real design, the ultimate plan, confusion becomes God and God becomes man. Sing that song, tap your feet, there goes our music, here comes the beat.
Don't you give me a rock.
What happened to our rhythm?
Don't you give me a rock.
Here comes the beat.
man's flesh, his soul, could never be a Mambo King. Cause Cito Puente whipped his ass 50 years ago. Come on, suckers, we ain't got much time before these escapees from the hell of their own fears fuck up this planet and take us with them. Tanika will die, Youssef is dead, and Bafo is dying. Check out the mirror, the truth is, evil looks like you and me. It is you and me, unless we confess with our hearts and our tongues that God is king and we are powerless. We won't need a revolution, we will be D-Day dead. And I want to live, y'all, do you understand me? I want to live, I don't want to die.
Junius, Ricardo Stanton, straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griffin, Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
And welcome to another edition of the Cyberspace Sanctuary here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. Started off the program, message in the music from The Last Poets, Don't Give Me No Broccoli and Tell Me It's Greens. That should be the anthem of black people and thinking people all over the world. Don't give me no broccoli and tell me it's greens. Don't put down the okie doke and expect me to fall for the flim flam. And that's why you need a rainbow soul. That's why you need alternative media and people who will tell the truth. Because as George Orwell said, during times of universal deceit, such as we have now, universal spin, obfuscation, deceit, lies, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. And we certainly are engaged in telling the truth. And ergo, according to Orwell, you're listening to the resistance and the revolution. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned. We have an exciting guest for you, Henry DiBernardo, who is the founder and publisher of the Black Star newspaper. And we'll speak with him following these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're logged on to the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. The name of this program is The Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, with your host, Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned. Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com. Or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's
easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
You're listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Stay tuned.
Our guest is Henry D. Bernardo, who is the founder and the publisher of the Black Star newspaper out of Philadelphia. And their banner, "Let the Chips Fall Where They May," says something about his philosophy, his attitude about journalism, about the role of the media. And I've known him quite a while. We were on the same paper at the New Observer, and I've seen him. He's a lecturer. He's a nationally known lecturer and spokesperson, and he's a pleasure to be called my friend, and I'm welcome to the program. Welcome, brother. How are you?
Hey, peace, Janius, and thank you for having me on your program again.
It's my pleasure. Tell us about the Black Star, because some people aren't familiar with it now. You do distribute it in, I think, Chicago, Atlanta, and where else? In Philadelphia,
yeah,
where else?
We're in Philly and Atlanta, and we get quite a few requests from around the country. Now we do have a distributor, Black and Noble Bookstore in Philadelphia, and they distribute to places we don't even know about. It's basically all over the country, because we just got a notice from them just yesterday, as a matter of fact, that one of the parcels that they had sent out to Houston, Texas, got returned. They had sent a piece out to a brother in prison in Houston, and they shipped it back for some reason or other. But we get quite a bit of that, so we're all over the place now.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the contact information if somebody wants to secure a subscription?
Okay, the best place to go to right now, believe it or not, is I would say go to blackandnoble.com, and that'll get you real quick fixed up in terms of shipping out. And they do ship out, so it's very convenient for people.
Mm-hmm. Well, share your editorial philosophy.
Well, of course, as you know, Junius, as you just said, our philosophy is let the chips fall where they may. We have a sort of like a run-and-gun kind of attitude. We're a Black nationalist paper of the Garveyite mold, and so we believe in race first, is a concept that they used to talk about a lot in the old days. And basically what we're about is trying to promote positive aspects of the African-American community.
Well, in addition to the positive aspects, you also rip the covers off and shine some sunlight and throw some disinfectant on some of the corruption and the mendacity and the duplicity that is local as well as national and international.
Yeah, well, we have done some major pieces recently about some of the Philadelphia institutions where there's a tremendous amount of graft and corruption, and we've done some feature stories. Matter of fact, one of our feature stories that was on the recent edition of the paper was also on the front page of the Philadelphia Daily News, which is the biggest circulation paper in the city. And they took their lead from our story previously in the paper, and then we did a follow-up story after they did their front page story on corruption in the Philadelphia city government.
Well, they also did another weekly paper. Was it Philadelphia Weekly or one of them also took some took what one of your writers did and then did a sidebar or offshoot of that, didn't they?
Almost verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
They came real close. We could have sued them if we wanted to, because they almost took it verbatim. We had a piece, a hip-hop column by a young brother, gifted writer named Abdul Muhammad, who's been with us for some time, and he wrote a piece on the Illuminati and hip-hop world. And they took almost the exact same wording and really splashed it out throughout their papers. And I didn't even know about it until one of their readers brought it to me. Now, I was a little bit incensed for a second, but then I thought, well, you know, imitation is the best form of flattery.
Right. Mm. You also were one of the few black papers. Now, when I say black, I'm not talking about Negro or establishment, but one of the few black papers who fired some salvos at Obama and the government for their latest foray into imperialism with their attack on Libya.
Yeah, we talked about that before we did it, and then we finally decided to go down basically on the same side as Final Call, because Final Call is the only other major African-American paper that squarely came down on the side of Gaddafi, well, for obvious reasons, for financial reasons.
Right.
But we thought that despite that, it was a principled position anyway. So we came down not squarely on the side of Gaddafi, because he does have a checkered history. But we supported him because we don't like what we've seen in North Africa. We think it's this naked, bold-faced colonialism.
Well, elaborate on that, because a lot of people have drank the Kool-Aid, and they think because Obama got a peace prize and because he's quote-unquote black that he can't be part and parcel to the neoliberalism and the neo-colonial structure.
Right. And I want to congratulate QT Junius, because I saw the piece he did in the Scoop newspaper in Philadelphia about the North African situation. I thought it was an excellent piece.
No, thanks.
But it's interesting you mention that, because I just did a lecture in Philadelphia yesterday, April the 23rd, about this whole situation up at the bookstore, and we had a pretty good turnout, even despite the rain. And you know, I mentioned during the lecture several of the speakers, the panel, and I was one of the panelists, and several of the speakers mentioned this whole thing in North Africa and Obama's position towards it, which is a very bizarre position for an African American to have. And I mentioned that recently, as a matter of fact, when the war started last month, in the month of March, Obama actually took off and left.
Right, he was in Brazil.
He was in Brazil. And then he left Brazil and went to Chile, and he got ran out of Chile. A lot of people don't know that here. And the Chileans basically met him at the airport, hundreds of banners and placards. And they basically told him, go home, because you're not welcome here because of what you did to our third world brothers over there in Africa. And he actually did get on the plane, and he left 2 days early. He came home to Washington 2 days ahead of his schedule, and they tried to hush it up in the press because they want to keep African Americans dumbed down to who this man really is. And he's basically a neo-colonial puppet. I mean, like Ron Coringa and them guys from 30 years ago could have said it out their mouth back then, but that's unfortunate. It fits the bill. This guy is a neo-colonial puppet. He's doing everything that Hillary Clinton wanted him to do.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Remember, right after he won the nomination, and the first place he went was to the Bilderbergers conference. They said he was going to a meeting in D.C., but he really snuck off into Virginia to do something with the Bilderbergers.
Right.
But then when you look at the people that he's brought into his cabinet, all of them are retreads from Clinton.
Right.
And the Clinton, in my view, was nothing more than a surrogate for the Bush crime family.
Right.
And so we to expect anything different is insane, because he basically telegraphed during the campaign that he was going to expand the war a la Brzezinski's plan to go into Pakistan. So, you know, people who know what's up, know what time it is, didn't really expect much, but I thought he was going to take the hit economically and be the black-faced Hoover, the guy that they put in there when they pulled the plug.
Right.
But I didn't really think that he would start basically World War IV.
Well, this guy's actually surprised me because he's really not quite as bright as I thought he was, pretended to be. He seems to be a real lapdog, you know, for the colonialists, and not only the Americans, but also for the British and the French. You know, it's kind of like amazing to see his pattern over there in Libya, because he basically let the old-time colonialists beat the pathway for them straight into Africa and laid down just like a lap dog, you know. And it's a real tragedy for the entire world. I think even King Abdullah, of all people out of Saudi Arabia, said he was bitterly disappointed in this man's actions, because it was very clear that he is going to do exactly what these Bilderbergers, like you just mentioned, and these trilaterals, the CFR people, Illuminati people, are going to tell him to do.
Well, that's obvious. But you mentioned the neocolonial and the Anglo-American, and they've always been tight. What we're seeing is a resurgence of the Franco faction, not only in Libya, but they're major players in Chad, and the problems that we're having in Chad and Central Africa, and also this whole thing in Cote d'Ivoire.
Right.
So under Sarkozy, who has connections with supposedly the Mossad, you're going to see a resurgence in France to get at the table, to elbow their way into the table to make a resurgence for the Western powers, and see NATO, and unfortunately the UN now, is nothing more than a gopher or lapdogs for these global elites, the financial, the multinational corporations, and the military establishment to, you know, just be their enforcement arms.
Yeah, I thought that it was very interesting, the symbolism that was involved with all this stuff in North Africa, because the United States went in first, and then they turned around and pulled out, and they let the Europeans come in much stronger through NATO. And I thought it was fascinating that the NATO symbol was so prominently displayed in North Africa, because it's the Christian cross, and you know, stylized Christian cross. And Gaddafi has been saying the whole time that this was a Christian invasion, and even Putin from Russia has mirrored Gaddafi's statement and said that, as far as he was concerned, it was a Christian crusade.
Right, right.
So I think what we're seeing here is a different alignment. It's interesting, and I was talking yesterday in my lecture about the striking similarities between the opening phases of World War II and what I call, you called it four, I call it World War III, whereas they are now setting up in North Africa. Rommel, who was Hitler's top go-getter, seized the oil in North Africa, opened up the war basically for them in the early 40s. And we're seeing the same exact scenario again in North Africa. So I think what they've done is they pulled out the play card from World War II, and they're literally recreating that on the ground.
Well, just take a little further back. I maintain that they're pulling out the playbook for the rise of Hitler in terms of the media involvement with his book, Mein Kampf, and the turmoil that was going on in Germany at the time,
right,
and the money that was behind him.
Okay.
The, you know, Prescott Bush, the the DuPonts and all those kind of people, the Morgans and all those kind of people. Mm-hmm. Same, if you look at it, the same thing that happened with Obama, the same people are behind him, same strategy. So, I mean, they're not that original. They just do it because it works.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the other fascinating piece, I didn't get a chance to talk about this last night, but this whole track with the oil, where they're literally following the oil, because you notice everywhere in the world where there's an oil issue or major oil finds, there's warfare breaking out.
Yep.
And this is why we see this stuff going on in Nigeria with MI6 in there, assessing all that stuff between Christians and Muslims. We saw the stuff, like you just mentioned, Cote d'Ivoire, which has major oil now, and Ghana, I predict.
Yeah, I've been waiting for that. I've been waiting for that to jump off some kind of way. So far, they haven't.
Right.
But I would believe very shortly.
It's the CIA base station right now. They moved it in Bush's era from Congo over to Ghana and Clinton's era. So it's a possibility. You notice that Obama only went to one West African country, and that was Ghana. And that's because the CIA is based there now still. But I still expect that thing to go up in smoke because it's just going like dominoes straight to West Africa. Over to Nigeria, and I think what they're trying to do basically is demolish all those countries and fuse them into one sector. Like you said, they're trying to go back to the old-style colonial empire ruled by the British and the French and the Italians. And Zbigniew Brzezinski said something very, very fascinating last month. He was in one of the public forums on PBS, and he said, yeah, he said, we're going to see some countries disappear. Because they're not going to be able to withstand this storm that's coming up. And we're actually seeing this unfold where they're actually trying to eviscerate a whole entire country.
Yeah. Well, I think what we're seeing is the, because you're on top of this and basically the controlled media, the mind control apparatus doesn't connect the dots and they're putting forth the agenda of their owners, the ultra-rich. It's papers like Black Star, it's media like, such as this, that will put the word out because our people are not getting the information, they're not getting the analysis, and they're not getting the perspective to make concrete and wise decisions about what's going on in the world and how to conduct their own lives. And the same thing has happened to our brothers in the diaspora, particularly on the continent at this time, because they're under a vicious assault. One of the reasons they're in Libya is to give a pretext to put AFRICOM on the continent and put boots on the ground.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, AFRICOM. And what's fascinating, here we go again with the Illuminati symbolism, which is peppered throughout this whole thing, is that the commanding general, American general of AFRICOM, is the general named Ham, General Ham.
Mm-hmm. And he's a black man.
It's unbelievably fascinating, But this is what they do to these Rockefellers and Morgans and DuPont. This is nothing but a chess game, just like Brzezinski said in his book, Grand Chessboard. This is a game to them. This is, and they go by play books that are based on these beast computers that they have all over the world, which basically direct them and tell them what to do. And they have these war games that cost them tens of millions of dollars, and they actually kill people in these games to try to sort it out in terms of where they're going to go next. And what's so sickening about the whole thing is that they do this with total absence of any conscience, ethics, morals, any of that stuff goes right out the window with these people. It fancies me that people would actually be able to sit down in a room and think this stuff up. Just like Hitler sat down in his closed-door conference when he decided to eliminate the Jews, and all the Nazi leaders got together in the room in the conference center and they said, okay, we're going to wipe these people out. You take this section, you take this section over here, you over there, Joe, take that section over there. But here they're doing the exact same thing, carving up the world again. And I thought it was fascinating that they had another Berlin conference about Africa last week, sponsored by NATO and the UN, like you said. So these people just have no ethics, no morals whatsoever.
Well, they're clearly psychopaths and sociopaths. What you're seeing is the leadership, the Aryan model of leadership, where the strong abuse the weak, and it's a dog-eat-dog mindset that the leaders feel that they're entitled to any and everything that the rest of the tribe has. And so they've just carried that cultural milieu on when they went from being tribes to nation states. And then once they became to the point where they could go out and they saw that they could rumble together under the Crusades, they've just taken all those things and put it together. And that's what they do to bum rush the world.
Yeah, and, but I also noticed, too, Junior, that there are a couple of ripples on the water against them because two fascinating things that come out of Africa in the last week or so. First, this war in Libya has, with NATO sort of like going backwards in somersaults, trying to figure out what to do with this thing because they don't have the full-scale American help. So that Gaddafi piece is like really blowing up in their face. And the other piece, what I thought was even more fascinating because it's totally unpredictable, was that South Africa went with the BRICS.
Right, right.
I really sat up and noticed that because what we're starting to see here is the old alignment, but the Soviet Union is not being recreated because all these Eastern countries are now stretching out across the globe. So whereas you had the Eastern Bloc in Europe now you have this sort of like Eastern Bloc type model throughout the world. And they're very shrewd with this, these Russians and Chinese, because they've gone after the key countries in the world.
Yep.
And I think it's really fascinating. They locked down India. They locked down Brazil. They locked down South Africa. How better?
Well, they got Venezuela, too.
Oh, really? Okay.
I mean, you know, he's not in the BRIC, but he's aligning himself because he's buying all these weapons because he knows what's coming.
And I also understand Indonesia is trying to get in BRIC, too. So it's the largest Muslim country in the world. So I think what you're seeing here is the balkanization of the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
Just like before World War One, just like before World War Two. Here we go again. But I was trying to be kind of gentle as possible, even with a heavy hammer, with my audience yesterday, because they're a very youthful audience.
Right.
To people, you know, with this blunt stuff, because they just blast over, you know. And even one of the other speakers kind of halfway chided me a little bit by saying, you know, tone it down a little bit because you're breaking some hearts. But I let the chips fall where they may. You know, I've always been like that since I started writing. And that's one of the things that got me popular in town, that I don't pull no punches with my writing or with my speeches. And I told them, I said, look, we are in the early stages of World War III. Get over it, you know, and get adjusted to it, because this is going to be going on for quite some time. We're going to see some radical changes on this planet because of it. And I think that it's not going to be quite this thing that that these rich boys think. Just like World War II blew up in their face with the fascists, I think this war here is going to blow up in their face, and we're going to see some remarkable outcomes.
Well, what's happening? You mentioned the bloc, the Shanghai bloc, China, Russia, and some of the surrounding pieces that used to be part of the old Soviet Union. You got Iran is in that.
Mm-hmm.
You have the situation in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that the United States is bringing the NATO in is because they know they're weary about, they don't know how long China will take the polite approach, because what they did in Libya, when they started bombing the infrastructure, there were literally hundreds of thousands of Chinese in Libya working
in the
infrastructure and the oil and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Same thing. They're trying to keep them out from getting Africa, which is probably now being revealed as one of the richest sources of oil outside of Central Asia and Arabia. So that's my question is, how long will China back down? And what we're seeing is, like 2 months ago, they revealed their stealth bomber.
Mm-hmm.
They just refitted an aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm.
They're buying submarines.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were threatening to do something economically, the United States started messing and encouraging South Korea to act crazy.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be a warning sign to China.
Mm-hmm.
And they stepped in and they cooled it out. But my question is, how long will they continue to do that?
Well, I think everything depends, Junior, on, excellent question, but I think everything depends on the parity between the Chinese military and the American military. And so far, there's still a pretty good gap there, I think, the Chinese.
But that's just because of cost. I mean, the United States focuses most of their GDP on war.
Right, and they have a lot of cost overruns, too, a lot of
fat
under their belly. So, but notwithstanding that, they still have a little bit of a gap. So I think it's going to be about 5 years before they actually reach parity with the U.S. And once they reach military parity, then I think we're going to see a whole new phase of China. And we're starting to see glimpses of it now, like you said, in Libya, because all those Chinese did not leave Libya. There's quite a few of them still there. There's huge numbers of Chinese military in Sudan. That's why they can't get in that place. That's why the UN can't get in there. There's huge numbers of Chinese in South Africa. Even when I was in South Africa in 98, I saw large numbers of Chinese in Johannesburg and in the port city of Cape Town. They're right next to the U.S. military naval base down there. They're all in West Africa. They're even all through the Caribbean. These Chinese are not playing their games with these people.
Right, right.
And I think that we are going to slowly see the unmasking of the real China. And this real China is not going to be no joke, because they're not going to play with these people. I think the Chinese are going to try to go straight for the jugular.
Well, one question mark is that in order for China to evolve to where they were, they had to get in bed with the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, mm-hmm. the World Trade Organization. Mm-hmm. And so that can be a two-edged sword with them. I mean, currently they get the benefits just like the groups who own those entities are pulling the plug on America. They can pull the plug on China anytime they feel like it.
Yeah, but also don't forget, China pulled a very shrewd economic move by buying up all the treasury notes in the United States.
Yeah, but they're not worth anything. If the government collapses and the government goes into default.
Right.
So the key thing what they're doing is they're buying up gold. That's the key, not the treasury, mm-hmm. because that was what the whole piece with the Korean issue was. The Americans were afraid that the Chinese were either going to stop buying the debt or move to some other currency manipulation, which would have toppled their system. So they rattled the sabers in on the Korean Peninsula. The Chinese aren't stupid. They saw what was happening. They chilled out their guy in North Korea so they couldn't say that the North provoked anything. But you're absolutely right. There are silent type wars going on. They're war gaming all kinds of stuff with them.
Yeah.
And that doesn't include the fact that both Russia and China are annoyed with the encroachment, because the United States reneged on this agreement with Russia not to extend NATO into its backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And they see all these bases going around. And the United States says, they're trying to check Iran, but they're really trying to check China and Russia.
Exactly. And it's interesting you mentioned Iran, because I predicted yesterday that the next big move, I think we're going to see this over the next 60 days specifically, is the move into Syria. And they're set
right. Yeah.
And that's going to be the major flashpoint, not North Africa. And my theory is that the reason why they didn't put boots on the ground in Libya was because they're saving them for Syria. And they're going to try to go into Syria, and I think that's where the rubber meets the road, because the Russians are definitely not going to permit the United States to go in there unopposed. And there are already tens of thousands of Iranian Revolutionary Guards in Syria. So waiting for them. They're just waiting to meet them at the brook. So
you're right.
Fascinating situation.
Yeah, you're right. But the thing is, I think Cynthia McKinney pointed it out, one of the U.S. military guys slipped up and said they can't put boots on the ground in Libya because they're preparing to go to Iran.
Right, exactly.
And which you're exactly right. The backdoor situation is that Syria and Iran have a mutual defense
right.
and aid pact.
That's right.
And you see, they tried to do that rainbow revolution stuff in Iran. It didn't work. Now it's work that they're trying to do it in Syria. So it remains to be seen, you know, what they do and how this plays out. But you're right, that could be a crucial flashpoint.
Yeah, my prediction is that they're going to go in. And I think they're moving a lot of stuff around right now, because I think they're preparing for some kind of blowback right here in this country, because I just got this note from one of the Homeland Security moles that we have that the U.S. Military, in conjunction with the Red Cross and Homeland Security, has stockpiled 400 million MREs at Fort Riley, Kansas. So they're definitely preparing for something really, really major and really, really soon. So I'm saying that within the next 60 days, before we actually get to the summer, I think we're going to see a major, major flashpoint in that Middle East area.
Well, what some people have been predicting is a false flag operation. They've been saying that since early in this year, and we're only in April. So I think when you look at all of those things, they are possibilities and potentialities which could lead, like we say, to a full-scale war, because the United States, as it stands presently, the course they're on is unsustainable. They can't continue to do it. And generally speaking, when they get to that point, generally they go into a war, some kind of war.
Exactly.
Not that they need an excuse to get to war, because that's what they're about. But at this point, their backs are up against the wall.
Right. Yeah. And I think that, like you said, this has shown that they always hit that tripwire and go ahead into it, and because they always assume that they're going to come up with both feet standing upright. But I'm not so sure with this one here. I think when you take the Russians combined with the Chinese, and they're definitely working this together, and with these Indians and Brazilians, South Africans now, like you said, Venezuelans and Cubans, and Iranians and Syrians, I just don't know how far. This is going to be a very fascinating thing, because I think the early stages of the war are going to basically dictate the outcome of the war. Very, very similar to what happened in World War II, but I think we're going to see the flip side this time. Instead of the Allies winning the war like they won in World War II, I think the Allies are going to be the other people.
Well, keep in mind that one of the real reasons the United States used nuclear weapons on Japan was that was their first foray into shock and awe. They wanted to intimidate the rest of the world, because basically the Chinese were pursuing surrender, honorable surrender, something that they could live with.
Right.
And the United States just ignored it and just dropped the bombs on cities. They weren't military targets.
Right.
And the people around the world have not forgotten that.
Right.
And so this is not going to be conventional. It's not going to be pretty.
Right.
And but again, as you well know, this is all part and parcel, because they're talking about one of their goals is to eliminate, maybe 4 to 6 billion people on the planet.
Right. They want to get it inside 1 billion. And I guess 90% of that is going to be them.
Right.
According to their theory.
But right.
I don't subscribe to that theory. And I think even if they try to put it into practice, they've been trying to put it into practice. I mean, remember they had the year 2000 plan.
Yeah.
And we fell flat on its face. They brought in aid, which did not work, you know, so in terms of eliminating large numbers of people. So a lot of their so-called brilliant strategies are really coming up kind of short. And I predict that as we go down this road in time, I think they're going to come up shorter and shorter and shorter with their goals. And I think that's why we're seeing them sort of like hitting these panic buttons right now. So the Brzezinskis and Kissingers of the world, I think these guys might be out of a job, maybe out of a life in a short while, because I don't think they can stand up to their predictions.
Well, keep in mind, their goal, I think, on some levels, is incremental, meaning that they introduced AIDS, they introduced crack, they have genetically specific biochemical weapons that they've unleashed on the planet. So even if they don't kill us, incrementally, we're being dumbed down through their media, and genetically we're being our essence is being eroded. And even more importantly, because they're a spiritual and psychopathic, more and more of us are buying into that mindset, and so our spiritual essence is being negated. Now, it's not being destroyed, it's just we lack consciousness. And so until we get back and get on that tip, you know, it keeps us in a state of ignorance, and that we're easily manipulated and easily duped. And, you know, particularly in our situation where there's so much self-hatred and self-destruction, we can't fight like we should.
Right.
And I don't mean necessarily with guns. I'm talking about our mind.
You know, I think, too, with that, having said that, I think that on the flip side of that, you know, a little starvation goes a long way in getting people sobered up. And I think we're going to see that
yep.
in this country. We're going to see famine here, because I do believe that I think one of the worst case scenarios for them is for the country to disintegrate under the weight of all this nonsense. and we're starting to see signs of that now with the economy. And I think that if you get enough black people, for instance, among many other minority groups, really, really go hungry for a long, long time, I think you're going to start seeing some of those attitudes, some of that dumb stuff stop. Because a lot of those folks who are playing that dumb role and into the blame, you're just not going to see them anymore. They're just going to go away. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of tears shed for that element either, because, you know, nobody's going to miss them. Because they're basically leeches and parasites on our community. And they, like you said, they've been trained, you know, like little good puppy dogs to act in this negative way and leech on our community. So we're going to see a shaking down and a shaking out in our community. And I think it's fascinating to see, getting back over stateside, this this huge reverse migration going on down south.
Right.
Because I understand right now Baltimore County is the fastest growing county, believe it or not, on the East Coast. Because so many of the folks that had gone from the north down to the deep south, Georgia and those places, now they're starting to recirculate back up to the Philly area, but they're stopping in Maryland because they want to be near home, but they don't want to be home and they don't want to be down south anymore. Because they've been locking them up by the boatload. So, and they've been getting a taste of Southern justice, so they're coming back. So I think with this reverse migration thing going on with black people, we're starting to see some new phenomenon grow out of that in terms of, and then a whole recreation of the old South. We're starting to see bits and pieces of that because we're starting to see the whole desegregation thing starting to slowly flick apart. Boston is starting to flake apart. You know, they're shutting down these huge school systems all over the Northeast and Midwest. So,
but that's part of their plan, though.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's part of the dumbing down. Yeah.
Well, not only that, it's part of the third worldization, what I call it, where they pull the plug on the U.S. economy. We're in a full scale depression. It's going to get worse. And if you look at what the right wingers are doing, and there's a whole organization, all these think tanks, as one of them is called ALEX, the American Legislative Executive Council, all this stuff about going after public unions, doing, you know, that whole Bush type situation, cutting social programs, the whole Reagan kind of thing, they're all following it. And that's what the voucher program, the charter schools, and all that kind of stuff are, is to undermine education in this country and then to make it so expensive to go to college.
Right.
You know, it's all over.
Yeah, because even schools like, I'm right near Temple University Institute, there's really radical changes going on that campus, not only physically, but they're just wiping out the whole minority population over there with these bills. They're just throwing bills on them, and they can't stand it. And there's droves of them leaving school in midterm.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this all over the country. California is probably the best example, where you're seeing thousands of minority students leaving the California system because they're claiming this broke stuff, you know, and they're just not giving them any money anymore.
Well, but that's why they put Schwarzenegger
right
in there.
Right.
You know, that was the goal.
Yeah.
On one level, they manipulated Enron, remember, the energy thing, and then they brought in, they beat up the guy that was in there, blamed it on him when it was really Enron, and then the same people propped up Schwarzenegger, and look at what's happening. I used to tell people, if you want to see what America's going to look like 10, 15 years from now, look at California.
Exactly. That's right. Yeah, I believe that. Well, I think 10, 15 years from now, you might add a republic, California as a republic, parts of this Northwest as a republic, because I don't think I don't think any country can withstand so much economic pressure. You see gold and oil just going totally berserk.
And food.
And it's fascinating. We talked about food at length yesterday at the election because in Philadelphia, and I'm sure this is reverberating around the country, Acme and Pathmark, which is two of the huge chains here, are shutting down. So you're talking about a real serious crisis coming on with food. That's why I'm saying that, you know, some of these folks are going to get a pinch of not maybe starvation, but they're going to start getting pretty hungry.
Well, the other thing is that people are going to start waking up. And in 2008, to right around in October of 2008, a lot of folks just coincidentally, quote unquote, got their statements from their pensions, their deferred comps, their IRAs, and the crash took a lot of that. These people are plotting now to steal what's left.
Right.
And so people are going to wake up and they're not going to have their pensions.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to have Social Security, particularly the young people.
Mm-hmm.
And all these other safety net things that you see as, you know, in Philadelphia, you're looking at what's happening in Philadelphia as a result of Corbyn. He hasn't even been in there 6 months.
Right, the Republican
government. Right. And so you're going to see a diminution of standards of living to the point that it's going to be really, really ugly.
Yeah, like you said, third world.
Yeah.
You know, Pennsylvania, among the so-called tri-state area, you got Jersey, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is actually the slowest economy of the three. Delaware is the healthiest of the three.
Yeah, but even they're hurting, though.
Yeah, well, everybody's hurting now. Like you said, we're in full-scale depression. I agree with that. 100%. The last paper that we had that piece that you wrote about the depression, which I thought was a brilliant piece because you hit it right on the nail. You said, stop fooling around and stop faking yourself out. We are in a depression. And it's going to get a lot worse. I've seen even some of these so-called economists say that on TV that this depression is going to make the other one look like nothing.
Yeah. Well, it's the same playbook. They just added some other things. I mean, if you look at the 29 crash and you look at what happened here, it's the same thing, only in the crash of 2008 was 29 on steroids because you had all these derivatives and all that kind of stuff. So, but back then they called them syndicates. So it's the same playbook. It's the same people doing the same thing. It's just their kids and their grandkids carrying on the program.
Right.
And one of the things you mentioned that with this symbolism, there is an esoteric, and you refer to them as devils, there is a negative spirituality, mm-hmm. that whole Luciferian Satanism kind of thing that they're into.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner people understand that that's what motivates them, it's not greed because they got everything.
Mm-hmm.
How can people, 1% of people who own 50% of everything in this country,
mm-hmm.
want more?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just pure psychopathy.
Yeah, and I don't think it's lunacy to talk about the devil because Alex Jones, who's a major investigator, has his own series of websites, and he talks at length, endlessly about, you know, his...
Yeah, Bohemian Grove.
Bohemian Grove,
yeah.
You know, which is a devil cult. And all
yeah.
these top leaders from around the world, they all go to this place every year and they sacrifice their little babies and drink their blood out of their heart, pumping, beating heart. You know,
but that's what Skull and Bones is, you know.
And Key and Skull and all these other societies, they have these Ivy League schools. And I'm becoming more and more convinced, Junius, that these Ivy League schools are basically nothing but recreations of the old German schools where they were pumping out these fascists between the wars over there. And these Ivies over here doing it in Stanford, too, are doing the exact same thing. They're just pumping out these fascists, and they go to these Wall Street locations, and they just break us over the coals.
Well, the people who funded and backed Hitler were the Wall Streeters, the bankers, Prescott Bush, the Harrimans,
Rockefeller,
on and on and on. So it's just that we're not privy to this kind of information in the quote-unquote public education system.
As a matter of fact, Skull and Bones from Yale came in 1832 as a result of one of their graduate students taking the jaunt to Germany and brought that stuff back out of Germany. That's where it was founded during the medieval period. And they created it line, hook, and sinker right there on Yale's campus and still there to this day.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn. How can people... because you're one of the things I like about you, and I did the same thing when I used to I was the editor of Terry Johnson's Real News, is to bring in new writers. I got a lot of, just like you do, a lot of people from the prisons. So how can people contribute to the Black Star?
Well, again, you make it real easy for them. Just send it to, if they want to call us, they can call us in Philadelphia at 215-235-9079. And if they have any stuff they want to send us, just send it to blackandnoble.com. So we have a liaison now with those folks. They're really good crew of people, really
yeah.
awesome guys
mm-hmm.
up there, you know, and they're they're in the same mindset we are, and we're doing some nice stuff with them. Real energetic group of people. I'm very happy to be able to work with them.
Yeah, plus they're into everything. They're into
right. The
videos. They got a channel on YouTube. They have their own production company. They do all kinds of stuff, man.
Right. Yeah, and we're hopefully I'm going to be able to sit down with you guys and maybe also Harambe too, in terms of doing some stuff with the Lexus stuff we're doing up here.
Okay. All right. What's on the media agenda for Black Star? I mean, you got an issue coming out shortly.
Yeah, we're doing an experimental piece. We're putting it together now. We may actually be out before the beginning of May with a four-page special election edition. And we're running a slate of four candidates in Philadelphia. Local elections in Philadelphia are next month, about 3 weeks from now. So we're doing this little experimental piece. And we're calling it the Progressive Slate. But it's only for the road candidates. We're not doing a mayoral piece.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, young people. These people are all in their 20s, two females and two males, and just basically give them a little bit of support. And then we'll go back to our regular stuff. But we're not going to do the newspaper anymore. We're going straight into the magazine with the next edition.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll look very. I don't know if you've ever seen Garvey Voice.
Yeah.
It'll look similar to that on the outside. It'll be a little bit different on the inside because it's going to be all color from now on. And we're kind of excited to do that. And one of the reasons why we're doing that, Junior, is to get away from the newspaper is because we've done the market surveys across the country. And these papers literally are dying a real
right. Bruise
and death. I mean, all of them, universally across the board. So we don't want to be there when they put the nails in the coffin. We'd rather just go ahead and jumpstart something else.
Now, are you going to have because I've been trying to get you to have a web presence, even if you don't replicate the paper or the magazine on the web, at least have some where people can see it,
right. Contribute
to it, and just so,
right. You
know, you can expand your
coverage
around the world.
Yeah, well, we do have a young fella, Abdul Muhammad, I mentioned him earlier, who's doing some work with us in terms of setting up a web page at first,
mm-hmm. And
then later on a site. Where people can actually, send stuff in or make comments.
Oh, okay. All right.
And hopefully that'll lead to a permanent website eventually.
Mm-hmm. All right, brother. I know you're busy, and we just wanted to catch up with you and get your insight because all too often we don't think that there are people out there who have the wherewithal, the insight, and the skills to do the analysis and to put this kind of message out, because we've been brainwashed into, that the buffoonery and the coonery and all that kind of stuff. And the whole serious issue about survival has been kicked to the curb pretty much.
Yeah, one of the things we talked about yesterday, too, was the food thing. We want to get into some real serious food co-op stuff. Because
we looked
at the Pennsylvania Dutch people, see what they're doing, see what the Mormons are doing in terms of food production and collection.
Yeah, well, that's what Reggie and Elliot Booker are doing Black Farmers Mission, the Time for an Awakening.
Yeah. And again, here we go again with this guy, Obama, falling down on the job because he gave the Arkansas, one state, farmers $2 billion, no questions asked last year. And then when the black farmers got their check, which took them a whole year,
it's taking them decades.
They only gave him half the money. They gave him $1 billion. What are you going to do with that? You can't pay no bills with that.
Yep.
They gave him just enough money to hang them.
Yeah. I think it broke down to one of the things they gave broke down to like $50,000 per farmer. You can't do anything with that.
Yeah. So hopefully some of these farmers will be able to stay in production because we're really going to be heavily dependent on these black farmers, to feed these masses in these cities, whether they're in the North or the South. I think they're better positioned. We're better positioned as people in the South because they're actually physically closer to the farmers.
But Reggie and them, they're bringing truckloads of food up.
Right.
So
Yeah. Him and there's a number of churches now.
Right.
So we're hopefully going to be doing some liaison work with these churches to get some food costs going.
All right, brother, give us your phone number and then the contact information for Black and Nobel, and we'll let you go.
Right. Okay. The website for Black and Noble, if you want to send any stuff or if you want to actually get copies of the Black Star, is blackandnoble.com. That's blackandnoble.com. And the phone number here in the city of Philadelphia is 215-235-9079. This says for Henry. I'm the publisher and editor of the Black Star.
All right, brother. Stay strong.
Yes, sir. And let the chips fall.
Yeah, let the chips fall where they may.
Peace.
All right, peace out.
Cyberspace is a place that no army with artillery invades. Where no military.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates, no denomination faith dominates, and no court is going to try anything.